For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
No, I want this town to be near you. No gray skies ever turn blue. I stand alone. I stand alone.
Welcome to the show, and a good Tuesday Eve to you. Mark Arum here, you there. It's 7:08, 8 after 7. This is the Mark Arum Show, heard Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. The gang's all here. Low T Chuck screens the calls. Longoria on the other side of the takeout window. Programming note, we're only on till 8:30 tonight because of Bulldog basketball. The pregame show starts at 8:30 here on your home of the Dogs. On my way, just to show how into this show I am. I booked a guest on the show tonight while picking up dinner to come to the program.
You did?
Yeah, I did. Now, I know we have a producer now. Buford's the producer of the show.
He said he did it.
So you just take credit for what he does.
Well, no, not for tonight.
Oh.
Buford did guest for tonight. So I go to Piccadilly because
That's what you do.
And delicious meal today, by the way. And I run into State Senator Vincent Fort at Piccadilly. He's running for Atlanta mayor.
Yeah.
So I said, hey, buddy, you going to come on the show? He's like, absolutely. So I am working on the Mark Arum Show, even when I'm sleeping, even when I'm eating.
Hold on.
Even when I'm in Piccadilly, I'm working on the show. Always thinking about this show.
So happen chance, just total happenstance that you ran into him.
Everything happens for a reason.
What did he get to eat? That's the real question.
I got mine to go. He was sitting down at a table, and I didn't want to be nosy, so I didn't stare at his plate. So Vincent Fort, state senator, running for Atlanta mayor, is going to be an upcoming guest on the Mark Arum Show. So this morning, I got to go. This morning was very, very emotional in the traffic center, and that usually isn't the case. So I've been doing traffic for WSB TV and WSB Radio for over 19 years now, and I've seen pretty much everything there is to see on the roads, in the town, from, you know, when I used to fly in the chopper. I've seen some stuff, but I saw something this morning that really shook me to the core. Let me just take you through the play-by-play real quick. Sometime after 7 this morning, I can't even remember, maybe it was closer to 8 a.m., we get a tip that there's been a dog attacked a child somewhere in Atlanta. So that's always a difficult story to cover. We sent the chopper right away. We sent a ground crew right away. Sangster went on his way. And the chopper gets overseen and zooms in on this big white pit bull just sitting down stoically at the end of the driveway and like looking up the chopper like, what's going on? You know, like, it was just sitting there. And it turns out to be a really, really bad story. And so I left this morning not knowing really what happened. And then I turned on Channel 2 News at 5. And Sophia Choi had the follow-up of the story. Sophia, welcome to the program. How are you, buddy?
Well, I'm pretty sad tonight.
Yeah, this is a really sad story. So this morning, we didn't know what was going on exactly. We heard at first three kids were attacked by a dog. And then John Spink from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the photographer, got back and started sending back some pictures. And the one that really blew me away, there was a dog with, you could see blood on its chest.
Neighbors described it like it was red crayon all over.
Yeah.
That's how bright that blood was. And in fact, it was so graphic, we could not even show it on our air, Mark.
That image rocked me to my core because obviously I love children, but I also love dogs. So folks that are just getting in their car coming out home from work or going to work and don't know about the story, what exactly happened today with this dog attack?
About 7:30 this morning, as a bunch of kids were walking to school, and these are tiny little kids, 5 and 6 years old. They walk to a bus stop, which is a street over. They have to go to a dead-end street, cross over the back of this abandoned house, and an A gentleman in that neighborhood walks all these kids every day to the bus stop. Well, today, all of a sudden, neighbors started hearing just blood-curdling screams from children, just screaming for help. All these moms and dads and neighbors come running out, and they said it was just a nightmare, a horrific scene. They said they described it like a horror movie, and they said basically one child was in the middle of the street, covered in blood, passed out from dog bites. Eventually, they found another child behind a house a little ways away, and that was little Logan Bratz, and only 6 years old. And what happened was these two pit bulls that neighbors described as tiny, like a little dinosaur. They say these dogs were juiced up. They were muscular. They were not like normal pit bulls, but they had seen these dogs in the neighborhood before roaming around and had never attacked anyone before. In fact, when they would see people, they would run away. But for some reason today, they decided to attack these kids. And the gentleman who was with the kids, walking them to school, tried to use book bags, anything he could to get the dogs away. And, you know, too much for one guy to handle. So the neighbors came out with bats, with knives, with guns, all kinds of stuff. And they said these dogs would not back down. They would hit them and they'd come right back. And they just kept biting these children.
Wow.
One neighbor finally, they were calling 911. The ambulance shows up and starts taking care of Soraya Sanders, who is the child, a little five-year-old girl that's passed out in the middle of Ciro Street, which is on the corner of Ciro and Gideon's Drive. That's where this happened. Mm-hmm. And then another neighbor found little Logan with one of the dogs still on top of little tiny Logan.
Ugh.
He had to use whatever he could to get that dog off. The ambulance was concentrated on Soraya because that's the first person they saw. They didn't know there was another child.
Mm-hmm.
The neighbor who finally got that dog off of Logan carried his lifeless body to the ambulance.
And Logan, Logan's the six-year-old boy that died. Sanders, the five-year-old girl, was injured. Do we know how serious her injuries are?
She was taken to Eggleston in critical, from what I understand. But her family tells me she is up and she is talking now. So that's a good sign.
That is good. So, Sophia, when the chopper got on the scene, we were transfixed. We were just looking at, and we saw the Atlanta police officers on scene, guns drawn on these animals. Is that how they were eventually taken down? Did the APD take
one
them
was
down?
Shot.
Okay.
One was shot by police. Another neighbor ran after one of them and used a bat to corner it on a neighbor's porch and kept it there until police arrived. He says the owner of the dog, Cameron Tucker, I believe, came up and said, "Don't shoot that dog. Don't shoot that dog. That's my dog." Police shoot him away and said, "Back up, back up." He got back in his car and drove away. And that's why it took police about an hour later to track him back down and arrest him. He has been charged with two misdemeanor counts of reckless conduct, and more charges are pending. But right now, he's only facing two misdemeanor charges of reckless conduct.
Sophia Choi from Channel 2 Action News joins us about this horrible dog attack this morning. What other possible charges? I mean, could he involuntary manslaughter? I mean, can he get that big as far as the charges are concerned?
We don't know. I mean, I've never covered a case like this. We know that those dogs, according to neighbors, roam those streets all the time with no tag, no collar, no identification. And like I said, they were not normal pit bulls, according to neighbors. These were very muscular and larger than normal pit bulls.
All right. Sophia Choi.
And neighbors say these kids had no chance. These kids had no chance. These dogs were bigger than the kids. We're talking 5 and 6 year olds.
Yeah. It's awful. Sophia, thank you for the update on what has got to be a horrible story to cover. And thank you for the additional info, because I went to sleep this morning without knowing all of these details. And I saw your report at 5 on Channel 2, and I was like, oh, man, what an awful story.
I also want to mention, Mark, before I go, Mason Williams, who is actually a relative of little Soraya Sanders, was also nearly mauled. These dogs pulled him down to the ground, but somehow he got away. He showed me his little bloody jacket, and the blood came from the dogs because the dogs were covered all in blood. He was not actually hurt.
Well,
so that was the third kid that I found.
That is good news. Sophia Choi, Channel 2 Action News. On Twitter, at Sophia WSB, for updates on the story and, of course, everything else that she covers.
Mark, we'll be following up on this. I hope they follow.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us, Sophia.
You're welcome.
Take care, buddy. Just an awful story. And it's awful for a lot. I mean, as a dog owner, I don't have kids, but obviously, kids are adorable, love kids. But I own two dogs. And I adore dogs. I love dogs. And this owner is at fault. But I, what do you do if someone's pointing a gun at your dog? What a horrible story. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk to a dog trainer, Richard Fishoff from Good Dog Atlanta, in just a second. I just want to know what can be done about this. Can these dogs be trained? Because sadly, we only hear about pit bull attacks. You know, we don't hear about golden retriever attacks or beagle attacks. It's always the pit bulls. Why is that? And what can be done to prevent it? Richard Fishoff from Good Dog Atlanta will join us after we come back after this traffic update. And I'll, of course, take your calls on this horrible story. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. This is The Mark Arum Show.
Remember that routine that we used to make spiffy like Mr. Clean? A tidbit, a smidgen. I don't get the...
Mark Arum on 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
According to the research, 25,000 people every year are killed by dogs. That's the fourth most deadly animal on the planet. I'll tell you what tops them in just a second. All right, joining us on the phone from Good Dog Atlanta, a trainer, Richard Fishoff. Richard, thanks for coming on the Mark Arum Show.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
As a dog lover like I am, this story's just got to tug at your heart and just break your heart, right?
Oh, this is horrible. This is the worst thing that could happen to a child, and it's just horrible. I mean, I can't even begin to think what the children were thinking while this was happening.
Let's start with the breed, pit bull, notorious breed. Why is it that it's always pit bulls in these situations, Richard?
Well, some of it is it makes the headlines because of what happens. This is a breed that if somebody has this breed, they need to be a good steward of their dog. They need to train the dog, get the dog well socialized from a very early age, starting at 7 weeks. You need to expose the dog to children, teenagers, different people that don't look the same as you, and all kinds of different things in the environment the dog would come in contact to. Vacuum cleaner, hair dryer, taking the dog to the vet, handling, being able to touch the dog. So a lot of it is the people that have the dogs need to take responsibility. As with any dog, they need to be trained and well socialized. And apparently these dogs were out roaming the streets, many times prior to this is what I heard. Is that correct?
Yeah, these dogs were kind of let loose in the neighborhood. What and apparently, they were skittish with humans in the past. What's the trigger? Is there any way to know the trigger that decided the dogs decided today's the day we're gonna attack someone? What could have set them off?
I mean, that's hard to say, but dogs will chase a rapidly retreating object, and if the kids. Possibly they saw the dogs, they got scared, they started yelling and screaming. This could have triggered the dog to go after them. And then unfortunately, once they started, the kids were yelling more, which is understandable, and, got the dogs way over their threshold and, kind of into a prey drive mode.
As a dog trainer, we're talking to Richard Fishoff from Good Dog Atlanta. When you're training dogs, is it tougher to train a pit bull than, say, a Labrador Retriever?
No. I mean, you train them both the same way, and you just, work at the dog's level so the dog is getting success as you're doing the training. I mean, you know, sometimes you do have to take into account the DNA. I mean, labs are made to retrieve. You know, they will go after a ball or, you know, something that's moving also. But it just really is important. You know, the biggest thing for people that have this type of dog or any dog is to get the dog well socialized at an early age so that it doesn't have a reaction to some of these things.
It's a horrible story. Do you mind, Richard? I'm sorry, we went a little long with Sophia. Can you hang on a couple more minutes? Because I do have some more questions for you.
Okay.
All right. Ready. Thank you, Richard. Richard Fishoff right. from Good Dog Atlanta. We'll come back after news, weather, and traffic, answer a couple more questions from me, and then we'll take your calls on this tragic situation. I once adopted a dog that was half chow, half golden. Mm. And that dog was, when I got it, it was vicious. We had to train it. It would bite anybody, anywhere. So it really is on the owner to make sure the dog is properly trained. It's just, pit bulls just get this rap. And it's on the owners. It's on the owner's shoulders. All right, we'll come back with your calls after news, weather, and traffic. 404-872-0750. On Twitter, at Mark Arum. This is The Mark Arum Show.
Hi, everybody. This is Zoe Saldana, and you're listening to The Mark Arum Show.
Blue. 7:36, 24 in front of 8. Mark Arum at your beck and call till 9 every Monday through Friday on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Actually, 8:30 today as we make way for Georgia basketball. Pre-game show starts at 8:30 here on your home of the dogs. Low T Chuck's here. Longoria is here. We're talking about this awful story this morning out of Southwest Atlanta. A child was killed by a pit bull. 6-year-old Logan Bratz. Another girl was in critical condition at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. Ciari Sanders. We wish her well. Another child was involved in the attack but not hurt. We're going to take your calls in just a second, but we're trying to break down why does this keep happening? Richard Fishoff from Good Dog Atlanta, dog trainer, joins us once again on the Mark Arum Show. Richard.
Yes.
I had a dog that was 3 years old when I got him, and he was misbehaved, and I took him to a trainer and got him trained. Is there ever a point where a dog is too old to come to Good Dog Atlanta to get trained?
No. I train puppies up to older dogs.
So if someone's listening right now and they've got a dog that might be they're worried that it might be a problem, and they hear the story this morning and they definitely don't want that to happen. There's no age restrictions, right? They can bring an older dog in and you'll be able to take care of it.
Right. I mainly come to people's houses and work with them in their homes with their dogs.
Excellent. And that has always been historically the way to do it, where the trainer comes to you. You get the best results that right when you come to their house.
Well, we're working in their environment, and then, I'm getting the behavior, and then I turn the dog, then they have to do the training and also get the behavior while I'm there. A lot of what we do with these type of situations, we work on a behavior modification program, doing some counter conditioning and desensitization activities with the dog. So the dog gets a different emotional response to something that may have been a trigger that may have caused him to be fearful and or aggressive.
Someone calls you up and wants to book an appointment and they've got a pit bull. Do you go, no, not again, or it's all the same to you?
No, I mean, I'm training animals, and if that's what they have, then that's what I'll train. I mean, I will ask if there's any bite history. So I know what I'm walking into, and then I would have them take some precautions before I walk in the house, either have the dog in a leash or have the dog in a crate or have the dog in another room.
Is there anything we can do? God forbid we're walking down the street and something like this happens to us, and we get charged by a dog. Is there anything we can do to protect ourselves from a training perspective? Is there anything you can suggest for folks to try to stop this attack?
Well, the hardest thing to do is, especially for children, there's a program I do called Be a Tree, and I go into schools and work with little kids, is to stand perfectly still, don't make direct eye contact with the dog, and be a tree, be boring. And a lot of times the dog will, see, this is no fun, let me go find something else to go after or something. But also letting kids, teaching them how to read, you know, dog body language, when it's safe to approach, not safe to approach. But, you know, the biggest thing is, especially for little kids, is not moving. Unfortunately, if a child moves and screams, then the dog will go into more of a prey drive if the child is running away from them sometimes and want to, you know, nip or bite.
Be like a tree. I like that. That's easier said than done, though, especially, I'm sure, as an adult, I'd have trouble doing that.
Sure.
But, yeah.
No, it is. But the other thing, too, you know, and we can do this, you know, you wouldn't want to turn your back on the dog. You would want to back away and, you know, see where the dog is, especially, you know, for an adult. But, you know, this is a really horrible situation. These dogs should have never been able to get out or run loose. And had maybe somebody, you know, called ahead of time when these dogs, they saw the dogs out, call animal control and say, look, we got a couple loose dogs here. You know, somebody needs to come get them. But I just, you know, it's just horrible, you know, what happened to these two little children.
Indeed. And that's a great point. I mean, if these dogs were known to roam the neighborhood, you've got to call animal control, especially larger, stronger dogs like this. If I saw random dogs always rolling my neighborhood, I would definitely do something. Richard Fischoff, Good Dog Atlanta. Folks want to get in touch with you and get your services. How can we find you, buddy?
404-626-0036.
404-626-0036. Richard Fischoff, Good Dog Atlanta. Thank you so much for spending some time with us.
All right. Thank you for the call, Mark.
Right.
Appreciate it.
Take care, buddy. Be like a tree.
Yeah, I mean, the best thing is probably not to run away. I mean, like you said, it is harder to do,
yeah.
I mean, if you're in that situation, but you don't want to put the dog into prey drive and keep him chasing you. So
sure.
The worst thing to do is to run, you know. But.
As the father of two young girls, and this story's got to just...
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, we have two dogs, and, you know, we try to teach, you know, the older one now, obviously, you know, some stuff about the dog, you know, we're teaching her how to feed them and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't scream because she, you know, little girls and kids in general,
yeah.
They just like screaming. And that's
grabbing
one of the,
tails.
Yeah, that's the worst thing to do is like scream around the dog. So we're trying to teach her now, like, hey, you don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, if he just licks you, don't go off and start screaming. He's not biting you, obviously, you know, you're screaming and that's going to make it worse and make him kind of get into prey drive. So luckily we have, you know, a lab and a border collie.
Yeah.
Border collie's a little bit, you know.
As if you don't have enough to worry about as a parent.
Yeah,
you
know, I know.
Throw this on top, like a dog attack. Poor, poor kids. All right, your calls, your thoughts on this. I'm sorry to bring us down, but what I saw this morning in the traffic center rocked me to my core because I love dogs.
And a lot of times it's the owner's fault. I mean,
yeah,
like it's
absolutely.
This guy's fault. You know,
absolutely.
He didn't keep his dogs in where he was supposed to. He didn't obviously train them right. He probably trained them to fight, or that's why they were so muscular and stuff.
Indeed.
So, you know.
All right, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Marco in Lilburn.
We need more lemon plates.
Marco, welcome to the show, buddy. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Trying to wrap my head around this story.
Yeah, I was slow to get up this morning, and once I heard Sophia Choi describe the scene, boy, I could just feel my adrenaline going. That was just, I guess, horrific, like you said.
Yeah. Well, so I saw, I mean, Mark McKay was up over the scene, and I saw the dog. The dog was sitting at the end of the driveway, just sitting, like being, looked well-behaved, and this is one of a couple of dogs, apparently, and it was just sitting there, and I was like, God, like, the dog is it's so calm now, and then they had a police officer with a gun drawn on it, and I was like, I've seen... from the chopper, guns drawn on humans before, but I've never seen a gun drawn on a dog, and I was so torn, like, oh, that poor dog, but oh my God, that dog just killed a kid. And then the chopper shot went out, so I didn't get to see, thankfully. I don't know if I could have handled that. Do you and your hot Asian wife have any dogs?
No, like I said, we got cats.
Oh, never mind then.
You know, but still, you know, you just, you could, like Longoria said, it's not the owner. I mean, it's not the dog's fault. It's the owners, you know, because I see it in my neighborhood.
But there has to be something, too, in the way these dogs are bred. And I've got a buddy that rescues pit bulls, and he's got five of them at his house right now, and with a little girl. Is it just the fact that they are so strong is why they do the damage? Like maybe there's
and an aggressiveness, you know.
Poodles have the same amount of attacks. They just don't have the power to.
It's definitely the breed. I mean, the breed has a little bit to do with it. You know. Different, obviously, than a poodle.
Yeah.
Jaw wise and bite wise.
I love all dogs, and pit bulls are the ones I've always encountered have been great. It's just, it's sad that they are always involved in this stuff.
Cause I think it gets more attention than anybody else. You know, if you get attacked by a poodle, more than likely it's not going to make news, but a pit bull or a Rottweiler or any vicious kind of dog.
Because they can do more damage.
Correct.
That's what happened. Yeah. Someone on Twitter mentioned when I was a kid, it was Doberman Pinschers.
Oh, yeah. We had one in our street.
My cousin had two of them.
And German Shepherds.
And, yeah. And I was scared blankless when I would go to their house. These Doberman, I mean, and you look at them now, and you're like, well, I don't know.
Yeah. They've kind of lost their,
It's like, really? That's not that a bad looking dog. Rick's in Atlanta. Rick, you were on the Mark Arum Show.
Yes. Real quickly, before I say what I'm going to say, I'm going to let you know I am a dog lover. And my grandfather raised pit bulls, but a year and a half ago, my wife was mauled by a pit bull.
Oh, I am so sorry.
Yeah, so I had to, I was driven to do some research, and I actually found a 10-year study on it, and all you guys got it all wrong. It's in their DNA, and it doesn't matter how big of a baby they are, they have the ability to snap. This 10-year study, the number two dog was a German Shepherd.
Okay.
And they had about 250 total attacks and about 35 deaths over 10 years. Pit bull was 3,500 attacks and over 375 deaths.
How, if you don't mind me asking, what happened when your wife was attacked?
Well, the dog was put down.
Was it your dog or was it someone else's dog?
It was a neighbor's dog in our subdivision.
And what happened?
The dog was put down. The neighbors were the ones in the neighborhood with no homeowner's insurance and left us with $15,000 worth of doctor bills.
So was your wife out walking in the neighborhood and the dog was loose exactly?
Yeah, she was just out for a walk. We actually got it on film from a security system. Happened right in front of this guy's house. She wasn't even near their home. The dog was beside their house. She didn't go down to the end of the street because she knew those dogs were down there.
Yeah.
She stopped and turned around short. The dog attacked her from behind for no reason.
And how is she doing now?
She's recovered physically, but not mentally.
Yeah.
At that time, we had a full-size greyhound that we had rescued that we had to let someone adopt it because every time she would go out to see it after that, it would jump up and get excited, and she would have a panic attack.
Oh, that's the worst. That's the worst.
Yeah. So it's in their DNA.
What? Where could I find this study, Rick? Do you know if
I found it online? It was pretty easy to find.
All right,
Just search 10-year study on dog attacks.
All right, I'll have Buford do that during the break.
And your friend that has the pit bulls,
yeah,
you got to be careful because I've heard so many stories of you just went in the other room and you came back to a dead child.
No doubt. Rick, thanks for sharing that story, man.
Yeah.
All right. Take care. Chuck, who is on line one, my friend? Line one.
Brad and Homer.
Brad is in Homer. Brad, welcome to the Mark Arum Show.
Hey, Mark.
What's up, buddy?
A good story for you. I rescued a red-nosed pit out of Fulton County. She was 4 years old, and all she'd ever done is have puppies. And I got her. She lived in a cage her whole life, and I got her. I've never put a collar on her or nothing. And we live in Banks County, and we also grow chickens, and we get baby chickens in. And if I left the door of the chicken house open, she would come in there, grab baby chicken in her mouth because she don't have thumbs, walk outside, come back in. She'd get six or eight of them, and then she would just sit out there and let them play around her, walk around her. She'd keep them herded up. Amazing dog.
Wow. So obviously no aggression or anything like that. Did you do any formal training with it?
I've done nothing but feed her, water, and love her.
All right. Well, hopefully we never have to hear about Brad and Homer's dog getting loose. What's the attraction of the pit bull breed? What is the attraction where people are like, I want a pit bull? I don't understand that. We'll discuss that coming up. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, on Twitter at Mark Arum, Instagram Mark Arum. If you want to see my dogs, I get a bunch of pictures on Instagram. The two joys of my life, Bosco and Deuce. Bosco got her staples taken out, by the way. She's all good, so I'm very happy there. We'll come back with your calls. 404-872-0750. This is the Mark Arum Show.
Mark Arum on 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. I like
the play. Welcome back to the show. 755, 67 degrees on Peachtree Street. Back to the phones. Chuck is on the Mark Arum Show. Hello, Chuck.
Mark, what's happening, man?
How are you, brother?
I'm doing good. Congrats on the new time slot, man.
Thank you, man. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
Man, I felt compelled to call. I used to, you know, fear the breed because there's this stigma attached to pit bulls and they're always in the news for attacks. And my girlfriend, right before we moved in together, adopted a pit bull. And I mean, I wouldn't even let the dog come in my house because I have another dog and a cat. And now we live together and, you know, it's basically our dog, the pit bull. And I tell you what, man, I've been around a lot of dogs in my life. I've never met or owned a nicer dog in my life.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. I found that study that last caller brought up. It was an 11-year study conducted from 2005 through 2015. Dogs killed 360 Americans. 360 dog deaths from 2005 to 2015. Pit bulls contributed to 64% of those deaths, 232. So in 11 years, pit bulls killed 232 Americans. Combined, pit bulls and Rottweilers contributed to 76% of the total recorded deaths. 41% of the fatalities were children age 9 or under. 59% were adults ages 22 and older. Of the total adults killed by canines in 2015, 65% were 60 or older. So there's the data from that 11-year study. I'll have Chuck verify this, and maybe we'll post it on Twitter at Mark Arum or Facebook Mark Arum WSB. Plenty more of your calls. Johnny Cabasa will join us with a fast food review next half hour as well. Hang on the line, talking about this tragic story in Southwest Atlanta. 6-year-old boy Logan Bratz killed by a pit bull early this morning in Southwest Atlanta. Ciari Sanders was in critical condition at Children's Healthcare. Apparently her status is getting a little better. News, weather, and traffic next. More of your calls. This is the Mark Arum Show. Walk the street until your feet get callous. Take you on the natural high like a
pallet. It'd be all good. Toss your clothes like a... I'm WSB's Herman Cain, and depend on this.
Whenever and wherever
there's breaking news,
severe weather alert,
or a traffic red alert,
the WSB 24-Hour Breaking News Center will tell you about it.
News 95.5 at AM 750.
WSB,
depend on it.
Hey there, this is Patrick Warburton, and you are listening to the Mark Arum Show. Who, by the way, stole my Jesus fish.
No, I want this town to be near you. No gray skies ever turn blue. I stand alone. I stand alone.
Erroneous, erroneous, erroneous. I did not steal Putty's Jesus fish. Welcome back to the show and a good Tuesday Eve to you. Mark Arum here, you there. It's 8:07 after 8. This is the Mark Arum Show, now heard Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Only on till 8:30 today, though. Bulldog basketball coming at you at 8:30 here on your home of the dogs, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Everybody's here. Little T-Chuck screens the calls. Longoria doing fake busy work, meter readings on the other side of the takeout window. Live studio audience tonight includes Buford and Vinny from TV. Johnny Cabasa will join us in just a second with a fast food review. We're continuing to talk about the tragic story out of Southwest Atlanta this morning. 6-year-old Logan Bratz killed by a pit bull. Ciari Sanders, 5 years old, was seriously injured as well. We're just discussing this awful, tragic, tragic story. For me, it's tragic because I love both kids and dogs. And what a nightmare. Just what a nightmare. Your thoughts on this situation. Roy's in Kennesaw. Roy, welcome to the Mark Arum Show. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Mark. Thanks for taking my call. And thanks for getting in the time slot that you got.
Hey, it's the least I could do for you.
Well, it's nice to be able to listen to you at a decent time.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
The reason why I'm calling, I spent 3 years with neighbors with pit bulls, and they were definitely breeding them to fight them. And I found that out after about the second year. I kind of suspected it. It was pretty much a nightmare. There's about five or six different situations. I've been to court, a witness for the state, and I've been frisked up against my garage door just because, and this is one thing that I want to let everybody know, that if you have pit bulls and you're concerned in your neighborhood, go ahead, get a hold of animal control, get their number, and stick it on your refrigerator. If you have an encounter with pit bulls, do not call 911 because that's not a good idea.
Well,
call
animal control. All right, well, I would do both. I would call 911 and animal control.
Well, the thing is, I called 911. Animal control in a previous situation, they said, look, I'm in Cobb County. They said, if they encroach on your property, if they're threatening you, and the first incident, I was in my garage, and I got pinned by a female pit bull, and all I had was a telephone and a can of carburetor cleaner. Now I keep a gun everywhere.
Yeah, so, no doubt. Well, here's the thing. Dogs shouldn't be roaming free, no matter what the breed. You shouldn't have dogs in your neighborhood roaming free. That's not good. If you live in a neighborhood, keep your dogs fenced in, keep them on a leash. There should be no wandering dogs, no matter what breed it is. I freak out if I'm walking my dogs and there's a dog without a leash. It doesn't have to be a pit bull. It can be any dog. It's like, what's going on here? Why is this dog just out and about? Not blessed. Vinny, you had a story. You got bit by a dog.
Yeah, well, I had a basset hound when less than a year old, and I had him on the chain out in the yard.
Yeah.
And a guy across the street had a pit bull, and he got out somehow.
The pit bull did, and
immediately charged after my dog and, you know, clamped onto his head and would not let go. The neighbor came across the street, was punching him. My fiance at the time, she was hitting him with a rake. I mean, this dog would not relent at all. And finally he did. My dog ended up, you know, he was okay after a while.
He survived.
He had to drain his head. And,
yeah.
You know,
Wait, your fiance hit the dog with a rake?
Yeah.
Was that the woman you eventually married?
Yeah.
And had your daughter with?
Yes.
So she was fine at one time.
Oh, yeah.
She had your back at one point.
Oh, yeah.
Before you put a rock on her finger.
She was
legit at one point. Gosh.
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
I was normal, too, then.
Chris in Powder Springs. Chris, you're on the Mark Arum Show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Number one, I want to say, you know, I think it's absolutely horrible what happened to those kids. Mm-hmm. That goes without saying. Number two, I totally agree with you. Dogs are not supposed to be running loose. There's leash law in Georgia, so, I mean, people should obey that. But I had two pit bulls. Both were rescues. I've transported a lot of rescues. My dogs came into a house full of cats, and the cats rule. And I'd never owned dogs before. And I adopted this pit bull through my vet. And I think it's all in how you raise them. I don't think it's in their DNA. If you look in the encyclopedias and check it out on the internet, back in the 20s and 30s, people used to use pit bulls to babysit their kids.
Mm-hmm.
The pit bull would be sitting out in the front yard with the kids playing and having a good old time. But
well, I think
anybody that would walk up in the yard.
I think what it comes down to, Chris, is so. You know, Lhasa Apsas can be aggressive, you know. But they can't do as much damage as a big muscular dog like the pit bull. That's the thing. And I think there is something to be said. Vinny mentioned that there's like a lockjaw mechanism on a pit bull.
Yeah.
That has been bred over the years where you can't open their jaws. Like, I've got a mutt, Deuce. I can open his mouth whatever I want. Like, come here. And with a pit bull, if the pit bull locks onto you, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that has a lot to do with it as well. We'll get your calls again in just a second. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK.
And now, on the Mark Arum Show, it's time for the Fast Food Review.
Joining us live on the Greasy Salty Hotline from Parts Unknown, Height Unknown, Weight, we do not want to know. Johnny Kilbasa and the ever-so-popular Fast Food Review. How you doing, Jonathan?
I'm doing great, Mark Arum. I'm wrapping bacon. I'm here for the take, and I'm covered with cheese. I am to please, let's interrupt this dog tragedy to hear some jackass make a joke about cheeseburgers.
That would be, you would be said jackass. But you
and, yeah, so bring in, it, in case Johnny you're K. wondering, if, in case you needed another reason to know why the North won the Civil War, it's because people in the South were letting pit bulls babysit their kids in the 20s. What the hell? Look that one up in the encyclopedia. Who the hell is that talking, Mark?
I spit my coffee out, Johnny. I spit my coffee out. Go ahead.
Always following the ever-evolving evolution of fast food burgers as they go through their cycles of development and adding to special things here, special things there, special things everywhere. Burger King had a cheeseburger at one time. Burger King decided to make a bigger cheeseburger and call it the Big King. Couple quarter-pound patties. Then they decided to put a ton of bacon on it, and then they called it the Bacon King sandwich. Now, of course, the next step, right before making it the spicy version or the chicken version, they're putting barbecue sauce on the barbecue Bacon King sandwich. So it's your regular Big King cheeseburger with bacon, and they're going to put barbecue sauce on it. And I got a question for you.
I have a question for you first. Did Burger King break up with A1? Are they Splitsville now? Is that no longer a couple?
A1's tricky. A1 comes and goes. A1 shows up in the middle of the night, stays for the weekend, and leaves early on Monday morning. Next thing you know, it's over at Hardee's for a couple weeks, and then it circles back around. So you can never trust A1, but every once in a while it'll show up.
Friends with benefits. A1 is basically your friends with benefits.
Right. It's too hot for one store.
Okay. All right, now ask your question to me.
How do you feel about, we've talked about mayonnaise mixed with certain things, and I've said I like mayonnaise and mustard on cold sandwiches, but just mayonnaise on a hot sandwich. How do you feel about mayonnaise mixing with ketchup?
I'm okay with that. I really hate mayo and mustard together. I'm not a fan of that. In fact, can we go to the WSB 24-hour traffic center real quick? Alex Williams, are you listening?
Yes, sir.
All right, so little guy Alex Williams works mornings now, Johnny, with me and with Ashley Frasca and myself.
And hiya, kid.
How you doing, sir? The legend is here.
The little guy goes up to the vending machine upstairs and gets a chicken salad sandwich from our friends at Southern Refreshments, by the way, the greatest place ever, and a really good chicken salad sandwich. This little kid puts mustard on a chicken salad sandwich. Your thoughts on that, Johnny Kilbasa?
Yellow mustard or Dijon mustard?
It was yellow. I would have gone with Dijon if I had the option, but
now did you put mustard on there because that was the only condiment available, or did you actually choose to do that?
I chose to do it. I don't ever do it with like really good homemade chicken salad, but like, you know, anything from like a vending machine or something, I'll throw a little mustard on there to add a little flavor.
But to me, chicken salad sandwich, much like a tuna salad sandwich, the condiment's already in there. It's called mayo. You know, you make a chicken salad sandwich with a condiment. You don't need to throw more condiments on it. It's a condiment-rich item already.
It was delicious.
Right.
It's just gross, Johnny. I couldn't. I threw him out of the traffic center.
Mark, I understand you make a great argument, but I'm going to give the kid a pass on this one.
Boom.
Say some people just put mustard on everything. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm
what
that
it
guy.
Is. They put mustard on French fries. Who does that? Some people do it. They put mustard on
psychopaths.
I mix mine with ketchup. I put mayo on
mustard
my fries.
And ketchup on my fries.
Mayo on my fries.
That's a Corpus Christi thing or something.
I do it too. I mix ketchup and mustard.
Really?
Oh yeah, that's mix gross. Them together. So, take the French fry and mix it all up.
And by the way, Johnny, we got to do something with the Ray Kroc movie that's coming out. By the way, we got to get involved.
Oh,
with
yeah.
that. Yeah. So anyway, did you know? Everywhere in the United States, when you go to McDonald's and get a cheeseburger, what comes on it, John? You get a regular cheeseburger at McDonald's, what's on it?
Pickles, onions, mustard, ketchup.
Correct. In New York City, no mustard on the hamburgers. Only place in the U.S. where they don't put mustard on. I prefer it. I don't like the ketchup and mustard to battle each other. Like, the ketchup, either do one or the other. Don't battle each other. They're not simpatico, those two flavors. One more quick question, Johnny. I got a listener named Buddha in Yorktown. Makes tuna salad with Miracle Whip. Are you for or against that?
If it's not Duke mayonnaise or Hellman's mayonnaise, yeah. It's not mayonnaise.
Miracle Whip.
If you're going to give me a choice, I'm going to say no. But some people, like, again, it's just like the mustard thing. Some people are. I had an argument on my podcast saying someone said the Miracle Whip is underrated. So it's not for me personally.
Me neither.
But if that's what they want to do, hey.
Let's go around the room real quick. Tuna salad with Miracle Whip, Vinny, yay or nay?
Negative.
Buford.
No way.
Longoria.
Yes. Oh, my.
Low T.
I don't eat tuna salad.
Ever?
No.
What?
The whole concept of lunch is based on tuna salad.
No, it's not.
Jerry Seinfeld said it. It must be true.
No. I don't eat tuna salad.
My mother used to give me an olive loaf sandwich with Miracle Whip on it.
You're getting kicked out of the olive loaf. The most
that's what I grew up on
ever.
Is Miracle Whip.
All right, so I should give little guy a pass?
Yeah, give him this. Don't jade him too soon, you know? Let him have his sandwich before you ruin his life.
All right.
There'll be plenty of other things to give him a hard time for.
My apologies, little guy. You get a pass on that. But you're still not allowed to chew ice in the traffic center. What else?
Watch yourself.
You can't lick your fingers in the traffic center.
That is correct.
You can't eat loud foods in the traffic center. That's correct. A lot of rules in the traffic center.
We're best.
Johnny, we appreciate you always. And
if the cholesterol is high, baby, zoom high. Follow me on Twitter, Johnny Kielbasa. Listen to my podcast on JohnnyKielbasa.com.
At Johnny Kielbasa on Twitter, JohnnyKielbasa.com for the podcast. Appreciate you, brah.
Anytime, bro.
All right, we're going to come back. Many calls to get to, so please be brief. We'll finish up. One segment left. This is the Mark Arum Show. Projects, I represent your challenge.
Again, I'm out. Yes, apocalypse now. The gunpowder will be going down. Mark Arum on 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
For the record, just to tie a bow on the chicken salad, the chicken salad sandwiches from Southern Refreshment need no doctoring. They're delicious. The tuna salad, the egg salad. Fantastic.
Egg salad, yeah. I got to argue
about
that.
It's a game changer. The store up there in the second floor now, game changer. Amazing stuff.
Yeah,
I had the egg and cheese sandwich the other day in the morning.
Delicious. Oh, it's good, right?
Delicious. Southern Refreshments, fantastic.
Beautiful.
All right, listen, I have no time left, so about 5 seconds for each caller. James at Athens. James, your thoughts on the dog story.
Yeah, my thought is I'm in federal law enforcement. It is. Why do you think apartment buildings and condos have dangerous dog breeds that you can't have? These dogs are dangerous. Pit bulls are dangerous. If you ever encounter one of these situations, make a record of it. Call your police department. Call the animal control. If the dogs are loose in the neighborhood, get it on paper.
Yep.
And just continue to call.
Stay safe out there, buddy.
All right.
All right. Thanks, man. Ian's at Noonan. Ian, real quick, what are you thinking?
Yes, sir. I rescue and rehome many foster dogs, ones that I found, especially from the Southwest Atlanta area. I worked there for 11 years, and probably 70% of them were pit bulls. And the only issues that I've ever had with them when it comes down to hurting people is the ones that were former fighting dogs. And the biggest thing is their anxiety. But if you give them the right amount of love, you neuter them, and
sure,
you take care
sure.
of them the
Again,
right way, you can bring them back.
This comes down on the shoulders of the owners. Kim, real quick, you have 10 seconds, my dear.
Did you say Kim?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, okay, so 2 points. Nobody can argue that different dogs from different breeds have different personalities. We had a chow growing up, meek as a lamb. My best friend's family had a sibling from the same litter. It was the most aggressive dog I've probably ever been around.
All right. I'm so sorry, Kim. I got to go. We got to do Star of the Show.
And now, are you guys ready for the Mark Arum Star of the Show?
We're doing co-stars of the show. Sophia Choi from Channel 2 brought us the sad story of the 6-year-old killed. She gets Star of the Show. And Richard Fishoff from Good Dog Atlanta, the dog trainer, gives some good stuff there. So the two guests tonight split star of the show. Buford's still 0 for 2017. Vinny's still 0 for 2017.
Yeah.
Mark Arum is still in the lead on the
we'll
star of the show.
That.
We are definitely going to continue this conversation on Twitter at Mark Arum, Facebook Mark Arum WSB, Instagram Mark Arum. Georgia Bulldog basketball coming up next on your home of the dogs. In the meantime, go to sleep, little baby.
Me and the devil makes three. Don't need no other loving baby. Go to sleep, you little baby.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.